Sophia Walker, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, Abs. I'm fantastic. Thank you. And you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. You know, we've been doing this just for close to a year, and it's the first time ever
we
sit across from each
other.
It's
actually long overdue. It's great to be here.
It's long overdue. So, how did you find waking up and actually coming into the studio? It's all good and well waking up and just answering the phone, but actually coming in.
The traffic was a breeze. Traffic was a breeze. Let's be positive.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we do on Money Matters every time on a Friday, we are chatting to Sophia Walker. We chat to her every Friday this time. A reminder to you at home that always, if you want to get in contact with Sophia, you can use her email address, which is sophia@sophiawalker.co.za. And if you want to get into conversation and be part of the conversation, we ask everything from Sophia. 021-446-0567 is the number that you can dial. Sophia, just back to you. We've been talking now for close to a year, and one of the things that you've been doing is, joining us every morning in our homes, talking to us about how to help ourselves get out, or rather how to save, how to be more financially savvy. Let's talk about Sophia for one. Sophia Walker. Who is Sophia Walker? Coming from where? And, you know, just the long, short story of getting to where you are now.
Abs, the long short story. It's actually quite interesting in that I've spent so many years in the financial services industry. I came straight out of UCT. I did a business science degree. Wasn't quite sure which kind of business to go into, and I ended up going into the financial industry. And I stayed in that industry really because I think it just resonated with me and it gelled with my own belief in terms of money. I've always sort of taken money quite seriously, so it was quite interesting how the universe just conspired. That my own personal belief system would end up being a good fit with the kind of career that I chose. And I spent many, many years in the industry and learning a lot and on the marketing side, so dealing with people, dealing with their money, and it ignited a real passion in me over the years to educate people and to give people information, because I think that is the largest thing that's missing. People don't have information around their money and how to make the right decisions always.
You mentioned the universe, and you also mentioned, what's the passion?
Yes.
And so with so many youngsters in our country, I don't know, maybe it's because the situation is different now. There's some desperation in the air, though. But how important was that? I mean, those two things for you, was it something that you came out of university and you were enlightened, like the universe and passion?
No,
is what I need.
No.
Or is it just something that we have to sometimes understand that it comes with time?
Yes, it does. It does come with time, and very often we're caught up in we have to do a job because we need a salary, and there's nothing wrong with that. It might not be the passion. It might not be what gets you out of bed in the morning. But the thing is, you will find your passion, and it will happen. And when I talk about the universe, I'm obviously a very practical person because I deal with money things. So, but I do believe that there's often you are moved in a certain direction, and you end up in a place because you're supposed to be in that place. And it sometimes just takes a bit of time and patience. So don't hurry things. It took me a while to get to where I am. So it doesn't happen overnight.
And you just alluded to something else right now. Just talking to you personally now, are you quite a direct person? Because I find that everyone that works with money, they don't like beating around the bush.
Yes, I am very direct, and it doesn't always go down well, you know? That joke, they say, people say, be honest with me, and then you're honest with them, and they never talk to you again, you know? That sort of.
Yeah, so to give it to me straight, and then you do, and it's like, oh, she's rude. I don't ever want to speak to her again. All right, a very quick question, and to you listening at home, we're chatting to Sophia Walker. By the way, she's in studio for the whole hour, and so you get to ask as many questions as you like. Question coming in from one of our listeners, Sophia, saying, how do you remain positive in such a tough, in such tough financial times? You're always speaking to the people who are going through such financial, such difficult times. So how do you find positivity in these tough times?
You know, Abs, I mean, yeah, you can look at me and say, oh, you know, sort of, I've written a book, I've done this, I've done that. I've also been through tough financial times. I think we all have. And the point is, one must always remember it's temporary, it's not forever. And I think that's what keeps me going, is, you know, it has kept me going in those tough times. It's not forever, it's temporary. And I also believe that, you know, if you think in negative ways, you will have a negative outcome. And if you think about things in a positive way, you will you know, you'll result in a positive outcome. You'll actually, we often are what the energy that we give out to people, you know, if we give out that negative energy, we're going to get it back. So I think it's important. Things, nothing lasts forever. That I've learned in life. You know, I remember in my corporate career, there was sometimes you get a terrible manager or a terrible colleague. It doesn't last. You know, just hang in there. Be positive, because nothing lasts forever. So even these tough economic times,
oh,
it will end.
Nothing lasts forever. Sylvia Walker is in studio today this morning for a whole hour to chat to us about her book titled Smart Woman, but also to talk to us about what it takes to become Sylvia Walker, what it takes to be this financial expert, this financial guru, the ups and downs that she's had to deal with. It is Women's Month, and so we focus on the contents of her book today and why she decided to put together a book focused solely, shall we say, for financial planning for women. To you listening at home, join the conversation 021-446-0567. Any questions that you may have for Sylvia, you're more than welcome to join us in conversation. Sylvia, I'm holding the book. It's a yellow? Is it yellow?
Gold. Gold. It's gold.
Gold. Yes, gold. Gold.
Gold is money. Money.
Gold is money. Gold. Smart Woman. How to gain financial independence and create wealth. Just tell us a bit more about the book.
Abs, the book, I wanted to write the book about 10 years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, the idea came about, because as part of my corporate career, I started focusing on women a long time ago. And very interesting, you know, people kept saying to me, what you're saying, what you're sharing in workshops and presentations, you should put in a book. And I never actually got around to doing it. So it's only after I left the corporate space that I really sat down and started working on the idea of the book. And really, why for women? That's the million-dollar question.
That is.
You know, it's quite controversial what I'm going to say, but the financial services industry is still very male-dominated. So it's very much a man's world often, and I think they've made some great strides. But I still sometimes see statements made like, you know, we assist women in times of divorce and widowhood, implying that actually women don't, you know, that's the time when a woman needs to worry about money, which of course is absolute nonsense. So I think there's a need to explain things to women in simple terms, to talk to issues that affect women, because often women are devastated by divorce simply because they've thought this is forever and they never put right plans in place. Just simple things like we've discussed on the show, getting married the right way. You know, so as I say, it's really just talking to women about the things that can affect them and making smart decisions. That's really what the smart is about. We can make decisions that make us poorer as men and women. And the issues are not unique to women, but we can make decisions that make us poorer. Or we can make smart decisions that actually make us richer and grow our wealth. And that's really the essence of the book. That's what it's about.
21 minutes past five. We are chatting to Sylvia Walker about her book titled Smart Woman, How to Gain Financial Independence and Create Wealth. Just talking to the book once again, Sylvia. I'm a man. I'm a male. I look at this book and I think to myself, what can this book offer me as a male then?
It could actually offer you, it could offer you just as much as it offers a woman. Quite interesting. One of the people that reviewed the book for me before it went to print, Dr. Judy Dlamini, she actually wants copies for her nephews and nieces. She says, you know, this book is relevant to anybody starting out in life. So, yeah, it's called Smart Woman, but I suppose one could change a little few things, you know, may give it a male cover and it could be Smart Man or whatever. So, as I say, the issues are not unique to women, the financial planning issues.
And talking to that, though, I mean, I think about this and, you know, what you've just said now, we have to acknowledge that the thought processes behind how women think and how men think, in fact, they are different. We have to acknowledge that they are similar, but in some ways they are different in how we are brought up and all of those things. I'll tell you why I say that, because I'm a father. I'm a young father. I've got a daughter and I'm trying to teach to instill her a certain discipline when it comes to finances. Would then a book like this sort of give me an insight into some of the things that I should be perhaps starting to teach her at such a young age?
There is, I do cover the role of parents and you know, the influence of parents in children and raising children, because obviously parents, male and female, mother and father, have a role to play in raising financially savvy kids. So yes, it would definitely give you that insight. But you say men and women think differently. I think men very often go into solution mode quite quickly. So there's a problem, you find a solution, whereas women do their homework, they take time, they research.
I know this very well.
So you get the quick answer and she takes her time. So there are slight differences, yes, between the way men and women think, definitely. But as I say, the financial issues are rock solid in both cases. I think, though, quite interestingly, because just of the pressure of society, men are led to believe that they're in charge and they know what they're doing and, you know, everything's fine, I'll take care of things. And I think a lot of men are also quite ignorant, actually, and don't really want to admit it.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you, Sylvia, that I do believe that I'm one of those men. You know, I cannot, it's something that's in me, it's something that I grew up with. I don't want to blame my culture, I don't want to blame my past and all of that, but there's something about it that just gives me, shall we say, an ego about it. Is that the correct word that I want to use that?
Maybe, yes.
I'm a protector of mine.
Yes.
And I will, you know, if the buck stops with me,
yes,
they will never go hungry as long as I can breathe, as I can walk, as I can do anything. Not to say that my partner is inferior to me in any way. By the way, she's smarter than me. I've learned that a long time ago. I've come to expect that a long time ago. But yes, I am, shall I use the word, the man. And when it comes to that, though, I mean, like you say in your book, would that be something that would give me insight into her mind if I read this book?
No, Abs, it's not a psychology book. It'll give
I mean, things like you say, you know, we talk about divorce.
Yes.
For me, I don't even consider divorce. And I think from a male perspective, sometimes, not saying all the time, when we get divorced, I sometimes move on very quicker than how she would. And, you know, financially sorted in those. But maybe when reading this, I could learn that maybe these are some of the things that women have to think about.
But maybe some of the things you need to think about too, without you admitting it too loudly. Do you know what I'm saying? So it can give you great insight as well. And, you know, we speak about divorce, but for me, it's about having a solid financial foundation as we go through life. So whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, and yes, you as a man might be the protector and the caregiver, but a partner, a female partner that is financially secure and financially stable is a very good thing to have in your situation and relationship. So it's not that, as you say, you are the stronger one and she's the weaker one. Definitely not. It's two people in a partnership, both with the same financial basis. Solid financial basis.
Hey, when it comes to finances, it's always a difficult one. I think we've had the topic where we're discussing about how you, as a couple, you need to sit down.
Yes.
You need to talk about finances. It can't be just expected that this one will be taking on this and this one will be taking on that. Are those some of the things, though, that you talk about in the book?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The role of money in relationships. Very important.
All right. 26 minutes past five. We are still chatting to Sylvia Walker about a book which is called Smart Women, How to Gain Financial Independence and Create Wealth. In talking to this, Sylvia, as you mentioned earlier on, the book is about, you know, many people have mentioned to you that, you know, when you're presenting to them, why don't you write a book about this? Can I then perhaps assume that a whole lot of this, though, this book does involve a lot of emotion from your side with what you've seen in the past couple of years and your experiences, and that you're drawing from that to put in there? So I suppose when I'm reading this, what I'm asking is that when I'm reading this as a reader, would I get a chance to get an idea of who Sylvia Walker is, even though the book is not about her?
No, not at all. This is probably as exposed as I'm going to get to anybody. No, Abs, it really is, and I say it, it's obviously about the collective wisdom. There are lots of women's stories in the book that I've included. So it's not just the theoretical information, but also information on what I've perceived, what I've seen, what's worked, what hasn't worked. So yeah, it's not just my story, but lots of other women's stories as well.
All right. We got Celia in Kenilworth, who just has a comment to make. Celia, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning to you, and good morning to Sylvia. What I would like Sylvia to do is to investigate the terminating building societies, which is like a glorified stock fell. This has been, it was started in Cape Town by my grandfather in 1914. And my dad was a youngster then, and he was always going off to a building society once a month. And this is still going. And you can borrow money, which is your own money. It's, because you pay in every month for however much you're wanting to borrow. Say you want to borrow $100,000, then you pay into that every month, and your turn will come up sometime. It's called terminating because the section that you join, and they're on section X. We're nearly at the end of the alphabet, and they'll start again. But we're on section X at the moment, and several sections can run. I think there are about three that run at the same time.
Is that not a pyramid?
It's a scheme. It's totally legal. It's audited.
What is the name of it? Is it Cilia?
There are two in Cape Town. I think the one's called the Southern Cross, I think, which I don't belong to, but I belong to the Salt River Terminating Building Society.
Okay.
And there are others, and it's an interest-free loan, and the money that you put in is actually going to your credit. So if I want to borrow, let's say, 2,000 rand, and I have to pay, it would be about, let's say, 100 rand a month. Okay. That money is going to your credit, so...
Celia, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to take your number down, and Rafiki is going to take it down, and then Sylvia is going to follow on this, because we all have this interesting look in our faces right now, because we really want to find out more about this. But thank you so much for that.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Celia in Kenilworth. Sylvia Walker is in studio, ladies and gentlemen. A reminder that you can send in your SMSs, as we're about to read a couple of them to Sylvia. One is Sylvia related to Johnny? I think this question has been asked before.
Many times. And you know, my answer is, if I was, I wouldn't have to work.
At all. Wouldn't have to work at all.
No. Nope.
Here's another one that I think that would have been, we would have dealt with in the past, but we deal with it again. What is an appropriate age? What is the appropriate age to deal with money when it comes to children? Preschool, juniors, or etc.?
I think the moment you start giving children pocket money, which is probably around, I would imagine, sort of 8 or 10 years old, the moment you start giving pocket money is when the responsibility comes along with it in terms of simple education. This is what this money is. This is what it's to be spent on. This is what I pay as the parent. This is what you use your pocket money for. And a very, very good time to start inculcating that culture of saving. So you save a percentage of your pocket money. So as I said, it all depends on from the moment when you start giving pocket money.
Suppose the next question we're going to be asking later on is, how? What do I do, Solve? Yes, I know I have to teach them, but what do I do? I wonder, do you cover that in the book? But we're going to be speaking to Mark Lewis now, who's doing our sports. And one thing we highlighted yesterday is that Neymar, a soccer player, was going to be earning essentially about 19 million a month.
Sure.
That's after taxes, by the way. Yes. 19 million a month.
Take home pay.
And, you know, when we talk about your book, the question is, everybody wants to get rich, Sylvia. Does your book help me to get rich?
Well, I just on that chapter who's earning the 90 million a month, I just want to say that earning it is one thing. Knowing how to spend it and keep it is entirely a different thing. You know, you can earn lots of money, but you can blow it even faster. So
I shouldn't buy the Ferrari.
Absolutely.
The Bentley and the Bacardi.
You know answer to
fine,
that
fine,
one.
Fine, fine, okay, okay, okay. If you say so, okay.
So the question is, yes, everybody always wants to be rich. And, you know, the thing is that the book basically tells you how to find the money. So it looks at the influences of society, firstly, that all the stuff competing for your pocket, for your rand. There's a lot of stuff out there saying, spend me, spend me. Then you also need to understand your internal drivers. How do I approach money? But the thing is, though, the book helps you to find the money, firstly, and then on the second part of the book is all about how to invest. What options are available? What are the principles of investing? And, you know, I said this to someone the other day. People think that you need money to make money to get rich. But my book is actually written for the woman, the average woman. The woman in the street, the man in the street, the average person that can, from their monthly budget, start investing and actually build up quite a nice nest egg over time.
You heard it from Sylvia herself, the author of the book titled Smart Woman. Chatting to Sylvia Walker on many matters. She's here, or she was here, or she is here for the 4 hours. We finish off the show. We finish it off with her. We're talking about her book, Smart Woman. And as we continue to talk to her, we continue finding out how this will help us. And when I say us, I mean all of us, not just women. Sylvia, though, I mean, I think in the book, you talk about money personalities. What is that? What is that all about?
Abs, it's quite interesting because we all have different approaches to money. And yes, I do cover it in the book. We have different approaches towards money and so-called money personalities. It's something that interested me. So I looked into it. I looked around to find a good assessment, and I did actually find one from Liz Koenos in New Zealand. She was happy that I used it. So basically, it's really it's an understanding of yourself, of your inner drivers. So, you know, how do you view money? And what behavior can you then change? Once you understand yourself, you can start changing behavior if it's perhaps not entirely healthy, your behavior towards money and in relation to money.
So there is some little bit of psychology.
Yeah, there is a bit of psychology, yes.
There is a bit of psychology in that. But you also talk about, I found this quite profound, by the way, money is life and life is money. What does that mean?
Well, the thing is, you can't separate your money from the rest of your life. It's impossible because, you know, we're not driven by money. I mean, very few people should be, or it's not healthy to be driven by money, but money forms part of your overall life. So the other pillars, there's basically four pillars to your life. And this I discuss in the book, your financial life, your relationships with other people, your mental health and your physical health. And one needs to have balance between those. And if something is not working right or something's out of balance, then in fact it'll affect the other pillars. So your money flows through everything that you do within your life. And as I said, it's very important to keep that healthy balance between those aspects, your relationships, your physical, your mental health, and your financial health.
We're talking to author and our resident financial guru, Sylvia Walker, talking to us about her book that she wrote, Smart Woman, How to Gain Financial Independence and Create Wealth. In talking to that, Sylvia, though, as we close off the show, the one big question I think we all want to ask is, Sylvia wrote the book. She put her time and energy into the book. What does she want? What does she want us as the listeners or the readers to get out of the book?
I think just to improve your own relationship with money and to actually be able to grow your wealth. That's as simple as it is. Invest properly and end up wealthy one day. Make the right decisions around your money. Don't live for today. Make decisions, as I said earlier, that will actually make you richer and not decisions that make you poorer at the end of the day.
All right. And the big question. I want the book. Where do I get the book?
Basically, Abs, it'll be available in all major bookstores from next week, and it's also available online. Already some of the online booksellers are selling the book. So if you just go and Google Sylvia Walker, Smart Woman, you'll find where it's being sold online. But as I say, it's being rolled out from next week. It should be in all major booksellers. And if anybody's battling to get hold of the book, they can obviously just drop me an email as well, and I can assist them.
And that email address is sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za. Sylvia, it's been fantastic.
It's been wonderful.
It's been so wonderful having to see you sitting right here in front of us. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, the knowledge. I'm still in awe about the knowledge. You know, you speak to her, the knowledge that she has. Sylvia, thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you, Abs. It was fantastic being here. Lovely being here. Thank you.
We chat again soon.